Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The Magic 8 Ball wasn't a toy designed to predict the future.
No, not even close, according to our source today.
It was a heavy black sphere designed, and this is according to some, deeply unsettling material we have to anchor reality itself.
And that right there is the entire game. Yeah. We are diving into a singular, deeply paranoid theory.
Yeah.
We're not here to debate the physics of it. Our mission is just to follow the causal chain that the source lays out step by step. A chain that claims to explain why the world feels so fundamentally broken today.
So we're starting with that heavy black object from childhood and connecting it all the way to, well, to right now, to this feeling of global instability.
Using the material as our map. Exactly.
Okay, let's unpack that. And let's start where everyone remembers starting with the thing itself, the artifact.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening, you remember that black sphere. You had one or your friend did. And if you hold that memory, you remember the weight of it.
Oh, absolutely. It was heavy.
It was so much heavier than any other toy. It felt denser than plastic should feel, you know, like this solid, low-tech thing in a world of increasingly light electronics.
And we didn't treat it like a toy, did we?
No. It was a ritual. It felt almost sacred. You'd hold it in both hands. You'd ask these huge questions. Is he the one? Will I pass the test?
That sensory memory is vital. It felt like an oracle because, this theory argues, it was a mechanism performing sacred foundational work. That weight wasn't an accident. The density wasn't just a design choice.
So right off the bat, we have to reframe this. We're looking at a familiar, almost silly object, not as a novelty gift, but as a mechanism of stabilization.
Or maybe even a mechanism of control, one that hit its purpose perfectly in plain sight.
Because if we even entertain the premise that this feeling we all have, that the world is glitchy, that it's broken, if that can be traced back to a mass market toy from the 90s.
Then you have to question everything, all the background rules of reality you just took for granted.
And that's the mission of this deep dive. We are officially moving the Magic 8 Ball from the back of your closet to the absolute center of the conspiracy board.
Let's start the descent.
Okay, so we shake the sphere, the dark liquid swirls around, and then that little white 20-sided die, the icosahedron, it bobs up with an answer.
Right.
But the source material hits us with the first big technical shift right away. The blue liquid inside.
Mm.
It's not just colored water.
No. It's explicitly defined as liquid memory.
Liquid memory. What does that even imply? That sounds like something straight out of sci-fi.
Well, that definition immediately changes everything. It elevates the fluid from just a visual gimmick to a high-capacity temporal storage medium.
The storage medium.
Yeah. If it's liquid memory, it's not just there to let the dye float. It's acting as a reservoir, maybe a buffer, a medium that can hold and process data about possibilities.
But the liquid itself is the engine of the device.
Exactly. It's retaining the history of outcomes it's managed or failed to stabilize. And this is the moment we have to introduce what the source calls the anchor concept.
Right. The source is very clear. The 8-ball was never about telling fortunes. It was an anchor.
Mm-hmm.
But an anchor for what? I mean, a ship's anchor stops it from drifting. It creates stillness in a chaotic system like the ocean.
And that's the perfect analogy, but on an existential scale, we have to separate what we thought it was doing from its actual function.
Our perception was, it was telling us about, you know, our middle school crush.
And its function, according to this theory, was to stabilize an unstable field. If reality itself is this volatile, constantly branching field of infinite possibilities.
Which is what the source claims.
Then you need an anchor. You need something to hold it in place. And an anchor in this context is a focal point of absolute stability, a point of low entropy designed to fight high entropy chaos.
Okay, let's slow down. Low entropy, high entropy chaos. Can you give us a simpler analogy for the listener? What does that really mean?
Okay, sure. Think of a giant library. But this library is constantly having new sections added, new floors built, new books written, all at the same time, everywhere at once.
Total chaos.
That's high entropy. It's infinite, it's expanding in every direction, and it's impossible to navigate. Low entropy, the state the anchor is trying to create, is the single centralized card catalog. A stable, predictable system that lets you find one piece of information cleanly and coherently.
So if reality is that crazy infinite library,
then the black sphere needed to be something heavy, something dense, just like you remember it, to act as the gravitational center point, to prevent everything from just drifting into unreadable chaos.
And that explains the density, the weight we all remember.
It had to have mass.
So the deceptive simplicity of this cheap plastic toy was actually its best defense. It was so common, so widely distributed, it masked this profound technical purpose.
It's the ultimate piece of hidden infrastructure.
If you need to stabilize reality, what better way than to make sure the stabilization equipment is in every household, disguised as a harmless game?
Precisely. Control hides best in plain sight. And that density, that key sensory detail, it's necessary. An anchor needs weight, it needs resistance, a fundamental heaviness to effectively stabilize a field that is, by definition, volatile.
So when you picked it up and felt that it wasn't just a hollow piece of plastic, that was your subconscious confirming it was doing serious work.
Integrating immense amounts of chaotic data, yes.
But I have to ask this, though. If it was such a critical piece of infrastructure for global reality, why make it out of cheap plastic? Why give it to millions of untrained children? Wouldn't you lock it in a bunker somewhere?
That's a great question. And the source actually addresses that through the idea of a distributed load.
Okay.
Imagine the chaotic field of possibilities is just too massive for one single anchor to handle. You wouldn't put all that stress on one point. You'd distribute the anchors. You'd spread them out.
So by making them cheap and easy to get.
They achieved maximum redundancy and distribution of the stabilizing load. Every single magic eight ball in every kid's bedroom was a node in a vast global stabilization network. The plastic was just the casing. The important part was the liquid memory inside. The whole system relied on sheer numbers to manage the infinite.
So the millions of eight balls sold, that wasn't a retail success story. It was the successful deployment of a distributed field stabilization network.
And the liquid memory was absorbing the static of potential futures from every corner of the globe. It completely redefines what it meant to even own one.
So now we move from the anchor itself to what it was managing. The source gets into the physics of possibility. It talks about the quantum field.
Right. And it defines it as the place where all possibilities happen at once.
And this is where it can get kind of abstract, but the source makes it really personal. It's not just science. It's the place where good outcomes and bad outcomes existing together.
It paints a really unsettling picture of how existence fundamentally works. I mean, imagine every single decision, every potential event, from you stopping at a red light to a global recession starting, all of it existing at the same time.
The timelines haven't forked yet.
Exactly. The field is running every single possibility at once until some action or some observation locks one down and collapses all the others.
Which is, frankly, terrifying for the human mind. We crave certainty. We hate the anxiety of the what if.
That feeling people have now of being paralyzed by too many choices, that your decisions don't matter in a sea of options.
Yeah.
If this theory is right, that's the natural state of the field.
And that defines the device's original purpose. It was built to process this field.
Mm-hmm.
Its job wasn't to create the chaos. It was to manage it.
You could think of it as a sort of low-power distributed coherence filter or an entanglement management system.
Entanglement management. Can you break that down for us?
Sure. Imagine all the possibilities as millions of tangled threads or wires all running at the same time. The quantum field is messy. Entanglement management is the act of gently forcing those threads into neat, ordered bundles.
So the universe doesn't split into contradictory timelines.
Right. It ensures things stay coherent. And the liquid memory would be the medium that absorbs and smooths out the conflicting data just to make sure that my timeline aligns logically with your timeline.
So connecting this back to the listener, that feeling of being overwhelmed by choices on Netflix or even with your career, that paralysis.
If the theory is correct, that is direct evidence that the mechanism designed to filter that uncertainty, the anchor, has failed.
We used the eight ball as kids because we were trying to escape that very paralysis.
Mm.
We were asking it to resolve the infinite what ifs and just give us one single path forward.
It was a management system disguised as a quick fix. When it was working, a question like, will I get asked to the dance, was fed into the anchor.
Mm.
And the anchor, using its liquid memory, would process all the coexisting outcomes. Yes, no, maybe. And it would gently nudge the field to stabilize around the most probable, least disruptive result.
It resolved the conflict on a micro level, so reality didn't have to carry the weight of every possible future.
Exactly.
But I have to wonder, was that really a good thing? Was it benevolent? Or was it just limitation disguised as order? If it was pruning away possibilities, even for the sake of stability, that sounds like a form of soft control.
That's a critical distinction. The source never claims it was benevolent, only that it was for stabilization.
Right.
The possibilities were always there. The anchor wasn't making up answers. It was selecting and enforcing one outcome out of the many that already existed. It was less a kind guide and more a very delicate, very powerful system for reality maintenance that valued order over absolute freedom.
And the goal was just coherence, making sure reality felt real and solid, not like some constantly shifting dream.
And the fact that we were so willing to shake it and just accept its answer shows how desperate we were, even as kids, for that certainty.
Which brings us to the most critical part of this whole theory, the act of actually using it.
Right. If the system was delicate, our interaction with it was anything but. The source emphasizes the ritualistic violence of it. Shaking the eight ball wasn't a casual action.
It was a violent agitation of that liquid memory.
Exactly.
If that dark fluid is a sensitive temporal storage medium, then violently shaking it sounds less like asking a question and more like taking a sledgehammer to a hard drive.
You're not passively requesting an answer. You are aggressively forcing a reaction.
And that's the central mechanical action. When you shook it, you were forcing a wave collapse.
And that's the moment the physics shifts from passive stabilization to active coercion. A wave function describes a system where all outcomes exist at once. Observation collapses that wave into a single concrete reality.
But the eight ball was supposed to manage this passively.
And we, by shaking it violently, were forcing that observation through pure, intense agitation.
So the child, in their complete innocence, was engaging in unauthorized quantum coercion.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't asking the universe for polite guidance. They were demanding the universe pick a path right now and stick to it, no matter what.
Precisely. And this is the pivot point of the entire theory. Those messages that came up, signs point to yes, outlook not so good. They were not predictions.
The source is absolute on this. Those weren't fortunes. Those were commands.
The generation using the eight ball wasn't receiving potential futures. They were issuing dictates to reality itself, forced through the mechanism of that now agitated anchor.
The implication of that is just staggering. It completely shifts the psychology of it.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't hoping for a good answer. You were actively ordering the universe to make your desired outcome the only reality.
Forcing all other possible timelines to just cease to exist.
It shifts the burden from prediction to immediate forceful enforcement.
Let's run that example again, but with this new understanding. A kid asks, will I get an A on my history test? The liquid memory is holding all the possibilities, A, B, C, F. The kid shakes it violently. The answer is, it is decidedly so. This was not a forecast based on their study habits. This was the mechanism under duress, locking down the A timeline and collapsing everything else, the B timeline, the F timeline, with immense force.
Which means the mechanism had to immediately execute a bunch of unseen commands to make that happen.
Yes.
Maybe it forced the teacher to grade a little easier, or it made the kid suddenly remember a key fact right before the test.
Or it shifted the grading curve for the whole class. The other timelines, the ones where the kid failed, were actively deleted from observable reality.
And the power of that command is proportional to the density of the object. The heavier the anchor, the harder the collapse, the more permanent the command.
Think about asking, will the weekend be fun? And getting, yes, definitely. You weren't just predicting a good weekend. You were commanding the necessary chain of events to make it happen. Good weather, your friends are suddenly free, plans fall into place.
All to ensure that outcome manifested over every other possibility.
But what happens when the command is irrational or when it requires a massive intervention? If I command I will win the lottery, the amount of chronological coercion required to make that happen would be immense.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And that has to put a ton of stress on the liquid memory itself.
This is where the failure becomes inevitable. What happens when the commands conflict with each other?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Millions of kids on opposite sides of the country asking the anchor for mutually exclusive outcomes. One kid commands their crush to like them back. Another commands that same person to reject them.
The anchor has to resolve a paradox. instantly.
It can't satisfy both. It has to choose one and violently erase the other timeline. This constant contradictory input is like a denial of service attack on the stability system.
Which suggests the anchor was designed for a certain level of use, maybe by whoever built it, but not for this. Not for constant contradictory commands from millions of impatient kids all through the 1990s.
The cumulative effect would be like forcing 10,000 volts through a circuit designed for 10.
You're combining physical stress from the shaking with computational overload from the Caradoxes.
The plastic shell held up, but the delicate liquid memory system inside, constantly agitated, forced to process these impossible collapses, just began to degrade. It fragmented. It became corrupted.
So we've laid out the premises. The 8 doll as a reality anchor, shaking it as an act of quantum coercion.
A command, not a question.
Right. And now we get to the collective failure. The source points a finger at an entire generation of children who spent the 1990s doing this. The timing is critical.
The 90s were the absolute peak of its popularity. It was culturally ubiquitous. You couldn't escape it.
So you have millions of untrained operators, children, whose desires are by nature self-centered and irrational, violently demanding certainty from this highly sensitive distributed stabilization tool.
It represents an error accumulation of catastrophic proportions over a decade.
Just think of the sheer volume of commands. Every lunch break, every sleepover, every boring Tuesday night, each one forcing a wave collapse, each one locking down a micro timeline.
We weren't just destabilizing the system. We were actively breaking the primary mechanism by running it at constant maximum stress.
We were forcing it to resolve paradoxes it was never built to handle at that scale.
And that constant violent forcing of wave collapse destabilized the very anchor designed to gently manage possibilities. It should absorb volatility and nudge reality towards coherence.
But instead, it's getting hit with these massive contradictory inputs. It starts to fracture. The liquid memory, which was supposed to integrate the data, becomes agitated and corrupted.
It can't tell the difference between a gentle nudge and a violent command anymore.
So the stability the anchor was supposed to provide was slowly destroyed by the very generation that relied on it for certainty.
We didn't just break a toy. We broke the delicate balance it maintained between infinite possibilities and the single observable reality we call the present.
And the causal chain culminates right here. The source ties that generational activity directly to how things are now.
The structural integrity of the reality anchor is gone. And that catastrophic failure leads directly to our contemporary experience. The inherent chaos of the quantum field, which the anchor had been suppressing for decades, starts to bleed through.
The guardrails are gone. Reality starts to leak.
Exactly.
And what does that look like in our daily lives? It's not just big global crises, right?
No, it's the constant low-level feeling that things just don't line up, that basic processes fail for no reason, that outcomes feel arbitrary.
It's the sense that the fundamental rules of the world, the unwritten contract that things should proceed logically, are suddenly flexible, unreliable.
If the anchor was responsible for ensuring logical causality, its failure means causality becomes leaky. It's corrupted by fragmented liquid memory. We start to experience the world as if different timelines that should have been erased, are now overlapping,
causing inconsistencies. Paradoxes.
It manifests as administrative chaos, as policy reversals that make no sense, as the inability for people to agree on basic facts, because their commanded realities are now running at the same time.
This is the structural damage our childhood inflicted. We didn't inherit a stable future. We inherited the crashing aftermath of a system meltdown.
And it's the subtle wrongness, too. The feeling that you know you remember something happening one way, but everyone else remembers it differently.
Or your keys that you just put down are suddenly gone and they reappear somewhere that makes no physical sense.
The source argues these aren't just memory lapses. They're the coherence filter failing, allowing micro paradoxes to leak through for a moment.
And this brings us to the modern symptom. The feeling that's become so pervasive we've made memes about it. The source asks, why do you think the world feels so broken right now? And why does reality feel like a glitchy simulation?
That persistent, nagging feeling that things are fundamentally off, that the logic just doesn't hold up, that's the primary evidence the theory uses.
If reality was once anchored and stable, its current state is the definition of unmoored and erratic. The glitches are just the moments where the underlying chaos fails to resolve into a coherent outcome.
Let's define a few of these glitches. Think about the rise of deepfakes. That's a perfect technological example of reality warping. Evidence becomes meaningless.
Right.
If the anchor's job was to ensure a single coherent past existed, Its failure allows the past and present to be instantly changeable. When real and synthetic hold equal weight, the coherence filter has failed.
Or look at the intense political polarization, where groups seem to live in completely different, mutually exclusive realities. One side has one set of facts, the other side has a contradictory set, and there's no bridge between them.
That's the macro symptom. The anchor is no longer collapsing the wave function into a single shared reality. It's allowing multiple incompatible timelines to coexist in the same observable space.
And the conclusion the source offers for all this is simple, it's definitive, and it's absolutely chilling.
It's not natural evolution. It's not complex societal decay. It's a direct mechanical system failure.
The final devastating line from that source says it all. We aren't living in the future. We are living in the error message.
And that's the weight of it. We have to reframe all contemporary instability, economic volatility, unpredictable policy, cultural fragmentation, not as social or political problems, but as system failures.
The chaos isn't organic. It's the direct result of a broken control system, a system initiated by a children's toy that couldn't handle the load.
The system designed to stabilize reality has crashed, and we are now experiencing the default unstable state. The error message isn't a temporary bug that's going to be patched. It is now the operating environment.
Things feel glitchy because the mechanism meant to filter out the glitches has been violently disabled by generational misuse.
Yeah, and think about what an error message means in any system. It means the process failed, the data is corrupted, and the system defaults to unpredictable behavior.
Reality has failed its primary coherence loop. We are, functionally, watching the universe blue screen over and over.
And the ultimate irony, which the source points out, is that the generation who used the device the most, millennials, late Gen X, were the ones who feel the simulation glitch the most acutely.
We were the operators who broke the machine, constantly demanding certainty and simplicity.
And then we are the permanent residents of the resulting error message. We are both the cause and the primary victims of the reality breakdown.
We demanded order, and by demanding it so violently, we guaranteed this final spectacular chaos.
And to really solidify this paranoid worldview, to show that the eight ball isn't just an isolated incident, we have to look at the second source material, the Inspector Story Index.
Right. This index supports the whole theme that everyday things, common myths, are actually hidden systems of control or broken realities.
It moves the scope from the one big mechanism, the eight ball, to the idea that the entire world is built on these concealed mechanics. Little fragments of code, broken cogs operating just beneath the surface.
Okay, so let's start with the theme of erasure and hidden systems.
The entry for Disney World Controlled Zone is perfect. It talks about private rules, hidden protocols, and that famous 199-foot tower limitation.
To avoid FAA regulations.
A deliberate mechanism of control. And the callback line is, as in Disney World, control hides best in plain sight.
That directly supports the eight ball theory. If a beloved theme park is actually a hyper-regulated zone where reality is subtly managed, it's totally plausible that a mass-market toy could be the most critical piece of hidden infrastructure.
The mechanism is identical, a benign presentation masking total control.
And then the index shows evidence of the things that had to be deleted to maintain that control. We have Klaus Richter, the erased soldier. The callback there is erasure becomes the evidence.
Think about it. If the 8-ball was commanding timelines into existence, yes, definitely you will get the A. Then the universe had to actively erase the timelines that were collapsed, the FNC timelines.
So Klaus Richter could be an example of a person or a place that was just deleted to maintain the coherence of a commanded timeline.
His very absence in the historical record proves the manipulation occurred. It shows the massive, unseen administrative work the anchor was doing.
It connects a kid's micro command about a test to the macro consequence of an entire facility or person being erased from reality. The ripple effect is terrifying.
The index also shows how systems train us. Look at Monopoly. It's not a game of real estate. The index calls it a basement board that teaches debt, the callback. The game trains you before it pays you.
It reinforces the idea of systems teaching you a lesson without you even realizing it.
Exactly. The 8-ball trained a generation to believe they could issue effortless commands to reality, but it was unwittingly training them to exert maximum force on the one thing keeping that reality stable.
In both cases, the mechanism hides its true purpose until it's too late.
Now let's pivot to the theme of broken artifacts and false fronts. This is central to the 8-ball theory.
It's an artifact that failed its purpose because of misuse.
And this is mirrored in the index. Take Aladdin, or Adil al-Din, where a ledger is used to heist power, leading to a twist. The callback is the treasure is usually a trap.
The lesson there is that the power itself, the power to issue commands with the 8-ball, was the trap. It didn't grant you control over your destiny.
It granted you the ability to destabilize the very ground you stand on. We thought we had a magic lamp, but we were holding a reality circuit breaker.
And the case of Buzz Lightyear, Russell Kearney, with the DIY Hyperflight launch. The callback is, artifacts outlive their makers.
That hits hard. The 8-ball mechanism clearly outlived its intended purpose. Whoever created the anchor system, the liquid memory, they probably never intended for it to be used so violently and continuously.
But the physical object persisted, and the mechanism kept running, or breaking, until it finally failed, leaving us with this damaged system running on fumes.
We also see the theme of powerful tech disguised as something mundane. Luke Skywalker or Luang Sai among the orphan with the humming blade. The weapon is a witness.
The 8-ball was, in this context, a reality-altering weapon disguised as a toy.
Oh.
It wasn't a passive witness. It was an active participant in creating reality.
So when you bring all these elements from the index together, you get the context for the 8-ball theory. The 8-ball is the primary broken anchor, the central point of failure.
And these other things, Monopoly, Disney World, the erased soldier, they're the minor glitches, the fragments, the supporting infrastructure that prove the whole reality structure was compromised long before we broke the sphere.
If the universe is a broken clock, the magic 8-ball was the pendulum that shattered. And these index items are the broken cogs still trying and failing to turn.
It paints this terrifying picture where the most frivolous parts of pop culture and childhood are actually the critical mechanics of the world. And our innocence was the ultimate vulnerability. We didn't realize we were holding the reality detonator. So we've taken the full journey today, from that strange heavy sphere in your bedroom to the concept of liquid memory managing branching possibilities.
Through the violent agitation that forced quantum commands.
And finally, to the collective failure that disabled the reality anchor completely.
The causal chain is chillingly complete. The anchor was broken by the very users it was supposed to stabilize. The quantum volatility it was designed to suppress is now the chaotic, dominant reality we all inhabit.
So here's a final provocative thought for you to carry with you. Something to think about every time you feel that frustrating sense that things are just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If the answers we got were truly commands, not predictions, and we issued thousands of them, about crushes, tests, weekend plans. What unintended, cascading, and contradictory orders did we accidentally give the universe in our youth?
What chaotic, long-tail effects are we experiencing right now because of it?
Were we commanding reality into its own final spectacular crash?
Think about the weight of that. We demanded too much certainty, too much perfection from a system that was designed for ambiguity and subtle management.
We tried to force the world to be simple, and in doing so, we guaranteed its complexity would completely overwhelm us.
It means every strange, inexplicable thing you've seen lately, every moment you felt like you were watching the system hiccup.
That's not just life. That's the evidence. We are living in the error message.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.